through telling a parable about blessed is a servant who is watchful when his master comes back from a wedding. And Peter asked the question in verse 41, Lord, are you saying this parable to us or also to everyone? And I'm open to suggestions as to whether Jesus ever answers Peter's question. We'll just go through and see what it says. So 42, Kai apen ho kurios, and the Lord said, Tis ara esten ho pistas oikonamas ho phronimas. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? Ara is one of these particles that Greek is very rich in, that English is not. The function of these particles tends to be what they do things that English speakers do with vocal inflection. The problem is, what in the world does it mean? And what do you do with it? And this, you look up ara in the dictionary and you get definitions like therefore or then or something like that. And it's not terribly helpful. Fortunately, on this one, Bauer Arndt Gingrich cites this passage and says it means who then is the faithful and wise servant. The then, and the idea here is it's drawing an inference from Peter's question. So at the very least, it's clear that Jesus is asking this question in direct response to Peter's question. He's not just starting some new topic. The best resources for looking up these participles are, well, the big book on it is by Denniston, and it's called Greek Particles or something. I'm not sure the exact title. It's pretty unwieldy. There is a more accessible resource that's Smythe's Greek Grammar, S-M-Y-T-H, and it's got an appendix in the back that lists these things and kind of explains what they do. It's a classical Greek grammar. But anyway, so we've got who then is the faithful and wise servant? If you recall, there are two ways that you can put an adjective in the attributive position, and we have both of them here. You can have a sandwich position where the adjective comes in between the definite article and the noun, or you can repeat the article. And so here, ho pistos oikonomos is the sandwich position where pistos is in the middle, and then they also repeat the article, ho phronimos, another adjective in the attributive position. In English, you pretty much have to just say faithful and wise, or just stick an and in there, because there's no other way that we can handle this. continuing on, hon katastase ho kurios epites therapeas autu. We'll just take that much. So it's who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the Lord will put in charge over his household servants. Katastase is our obligatory histemi form. It is a future, and histemi is pretty regular in the future, so this is a blessing for us. So third future indicative, third person singular, active, from kath histemi, put in charge. So whom will the Lord put in charge over the servants? Now this is a singular word, but you look it up and it says servants, plural. So what that means is that it's a collective noun. So it's a singular noun that refers to a bunch of people. Whom the Lord will put in charge over his servants, to didonai. That is a genitive articular infinitive. Didonai is just the present active infinitive from dido me. Remember the me verbs use the nai infinitive ending because they use the older forms. You're used to seeing luain or something like that as the present infinitive. But this is a present infinitive with a genitive article. And that functions exactly like a henna clause in Koine Greek. So put in charge in order to give, the food allotment at the right time. So sitometrion This is kind of German of them, actually. They just stick two words together, sitos, grain, and metrion, measure, for the food allotment. And then in Cairo is at the time, or we'd probably have to say at the right time. 43. Oh, note, epi is taking the genitive. Just note that because we're going to come back to it when we'll see it taking another case and compare the two. But verse 43. Makarios hodulos akenos. Blessed is that slave. Makarios in the New Testament tends to be a salvation word, a little bit more than just happy. But for instance, in the Beatitudes in Matthew and the Beatitudes in Luke, the implication isn't just these guys are happy, but they're saved. And you assume the verb a me in there. That's no problem to supply the ami when there's no verb. So blessed is that slave. Hon elthon hokrias autu helrese poyunta hutos. So this is the slave whom his Lord, when he comes, elthon, will find doing thus. All right, so han is the relative pronoun, accusative singular masculine. It is agreeing in number and gender with doulos, but of course it doesn't agree in case, because relative pronouns take their case from the usage in the clause. And since it is the direct object of helrese, it's accusative. The slave whom his Lord will find. Now, elthon is an aorist active participle, and it's a nominative singular masculine. So it agrees with hokurios. So the Lord is the one coming. Now, I translated it with a present tense in English, even though it's an aorist participle. And the reason for that is that when you look at helrese, the main verb, that is a future tense. It's the future from helrisko. And the way participles work is an aorist participle tells you that the action of the participle happens prior to the main verb. So, for instance, if the main verb is present, then the aorist participle tells you the participial action's in the past. Well, here the main verb is future, and the tense prior to the future tense is the present tense. Okay, so when... So if you translate it, whom the Lord, when he comes, will find doing thus, then you have the idea when he comes, he will find. The coming happens prior to the finding. So that works. Pardon me? You mean an indicative? You could, but I doubt Greek would. Greek. I don't know. I doubt it. I mean, I think that the present works just fine. I mean, I suppose it would. It would communicate the idea that the coming happens before the finding, which is what you want. Just in English, future perfect forms are rare, so it's probably more idiomatic to use a present. So he finds him doing poyunta, that is a present participle, it's accusative, masculine singular, doing thus. Now, hutos is an adverb from hutos, and hutos means this, and so if you make this into an adverb, it means in this way. And the English word for in this way is thus. So doing thus. It's kind of archaic sounding, but what can you do? Well, that would refer back to giving the servants the food. Yeah, that's the only thing in the context that it seems likely to refer to, because in 44, Jesus is going to go on and say something else. Okay, 44 then. Alethos legohumin pati epi pasin tois hoop arhusin autu katastase auton. Truly I say to you, plural, that, okay, then go to the verb katastase, that future from kathistemi, that he will put him in charge over epi all of his property. Property is hoop arkusin. The verb hoop arko means to be. It's a synonym of ami, but it can also mean be at one's disposal, and so it can come to mean property in the participle. It's a dative plural participle from hoop arko. It looks like an indicative form. It looks like a third plural present active indicative, but it's not. And the tois is what gives that away. Now notice, epi here is taking the dative. Epi pasin tois huparkusen. Now that's different than taking the genitive in 42, even though it's a parallel occurrence. They're both being used with kathistemi, in fact the same form of kathistemi. What this shows you is that there's not a lot of difference in meaning between epi plus the dative and epi plus genitive in this context of setting someone over something. I mean, because these are exactly parallel, same verb, same context, and they alternate. This is how grammar books figure out that there's no difference, is when you have these parallel contexts like this. Okay. And 45. Eanda epe hodulos akenos ente cardia autu. If that slave, hodulos akenos, says in his heart, okay, then skip down to 46, verse 46, the first word, heixe hokurias, the Lord will come. Aeon plus the subjunctive can do two things. It can be a present general, meaning, like, you know, if one does evil, he will suffer, just giving a generalized present tense statement. Or it can be a future more vivid, if, he does evil, he will suffer. And the only difference is the main verb in the present general is present, the main verb in the future more vivid is future. And in this case, the main verb is heixe in 46. So we're dealing with a future more vivid construction. If the slave says the following, then the Lord will come and do the following. So if an epe is a third singular aorist subjunctive, active. Even though it's aorist, it has a future idea because it's subjunctive. The aorist subjunctive is not a past tense. It has the idea of futurity simply because it's subjunctive. So if that slave says in his heart, my Lord is taking a long time to come, chronidze, the idzo suffix means make, so this would etymologically mean like make time. In English we get the suffix eyes out of the idzo suffix in Greek. It's exactly the same as the suffix fy in English. They both mean make. Okay, so my Lord is taking a long time to come, infinitive, after chronidzo, and then this assumes the aeon again, and if he begins to beat the male servants and the female servants, so erxetai is another subjunctive after aeon, if he begins to beat the male servants and the female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk. So all of these three infinitives, esthein, pinein, and methuskesthai, are dependent on arxetai. So he begins to do all these things. Okay, so that's the if clause. 46 is the then clause, the apodosis. The Lord will come, the Lord of that slave, in a day which he does not expect, and in an hour which he does not know. Now look at the relative pronouns here. In hemera he uprostoka, you would expect the relative pronoun to be accusative because prosdokao takes an accusative object, so which he does not expect. But what has happened here is that it has been attracted into the case of its antecedent. So hemera is dative, and the relative pronoun gets attracted into the dative along with it. Same thing with hora, he. He should be accusative because it's the object of ginoske, but it's been attracted into the dative to agree with hora. Now, so he will come in at a time when he doesn't expect, and he will cut him to pieces, dichotomize him, and place his part with the unfaithful. Meros is a neuter accusative. Meros means part. And 47, that slave, the one who knows the will of his Lord and who does not prepare or do according to it, according to his will, prostathelema autu, will receive or be beaten with many blows. Okay. Gnus is an aorist participle, so is hetoi masas and poiesas. So you've got a bunch of aorist participles. You translate them present, though, because the main verb is in the future, daresetai. This verb is from dero, delta epsilon rho omega, and this is an aorist passive form. It doesn't look like that because you're used to seeing theta etas with these aorist passive. I'm sorry, it's actually a future passive, but it's built off the sixth principal part, which in this case is edarein. And so if you make edarein future passive, it's daresetai. You will be beaten with palas, many, and then you supply plague or plagos, blows, which comes from verse 48. Palas is accusative. We're almost out of time. So it's accusative. Note that. It's weird. And we don't have time to talk about that. Let me just finish this out. But the one who does not know and does things worthy of blows, axia pleon, will be beaten with few blows. But to everyone to whom much is given, much will be sought from him, and to whom much was entrusted, they will seek all the more from him. Auteo takes a double accusative. They will seek more from him. It's like teaching someone math, that both objects are in the accusative. In English, we have to say from, but in Greek, they use accusative. All right, questions on this? Okay, thank you.